Easter story. And so you might want to dig it out in your Bibles there, Luke 24, and kind of follow along. Luke 24, starting at the first verse. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Jesus died on Friday afternoon. The Sabbath began at sunset. So Friday night and Saturday were days of rest. Saturday evening, after sunset, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and that might be Jesus' mother, probably his mother anyway, and others got together to prepare the spices to embalm Jesus' body. Now, it was dark. It was night. And so they waited until morning. And so when it started to get a little light, they got up. This is Sunday morning now. And they headed for the tomb. The first day of the week. And they discussed amongst themselves. We get this from the Matthew passage. What are we going to do? Because there's a huge stone that's rolled over the tomb, the entrance. How are we going to get that open? But when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And so they went right in. And it was empty. Nobody there. And then they saw the angels. Bright and shining, so they could hardly even look at them. The fallout from heaven. And the angels said, "Why do you think he's here? He told you that he wouldn't be here. What happened that stone was rolled away? Now remember, Matthew tells us that there were guards there as well. When Jesus was buried in that tomb, the rulers went to Pilate and they said, "We remember, the disciples didn't, but they said, we remember that Jesus said he would come back from the dead. We need for you to guard that tomb. Make sure that nobody steals that body." And so they put guards there. And when the angel came and the ground shook and the stone was rolled away, the guards fainted dead away. And there's no indication when the women came that they even saw those guards. They were just gone. Well, after the angels spoke with the women left for Jerusalem. They went to tell the other disciples. And then I would have to imagine the guards came too and said, "What happened?" And so they also went into Jerusalem to tell the chief priests and the scribes, something happened. There was an earthquake. The tomb was opened. And they probably saw those angels, because something caused those men to faint. Scared them so bad. Well now, understand this. These are Roman soldiers, highly trained and disciplined. If they fell asleep on duty, that could be punishable by death. And yet the chief priests and the rulers said, "You tell people that you fell asleep and we will take care of your superiors." And so you can imagine the interplay between them and Pilate and so on, arranging this story, which some people still tell today. But the fact is, Jesus rose. Now, the disciples didn't believe the women. And so Peter and John headed for the tomb. And John got there first. And he stopped. And he just looked. But Peter, in his impulsive way, ran right past him, right into the tomb. And of course it was empty. Now Mary Magdalene must have followed them back to the tomb. And she stood there while John and Peter left. And she was weeping. She didn't know what to think. And then Jesus appeared to her. First she didn't recognize him. And then she did. Can you imagine her joy? Realizing that this man whom she loved, who she had seen tortured and murdered and buried, was alive. Sometime in the next few hours, Jesus appeared to Peter as well. We don't know when or how that happened. There's no telling that story. But we'll find out about it later in the day. And we'll get to that. Let's celebrate with hymn 297. Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ, is risen. Number 297. Stand for it, if you would.
Thank you.
Continuing with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. You can see Jerusalem down there in the corner. And there are several places that we think might be Emmaus. And so the first one is over here on the bottom. That's about 7.5 miles. The second one is up here, halfway by that, and maybe one here. So northwest of Jerusalem. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." So the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was coming to redeem Israel. And what's more, on the third day since all this took place. And once more, this is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now if your children would listen, you would hear the story that we're celebrating today. And I will promise you, you will not hear it from the kids sitting next to you. So please listen, okay? Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Imagine if one of you had been there. Cleopas, one of the followers of Jesus, we could call him a disciple even though he wasn't one of the 12, and a friend. They'd been to Jerusalem. They'd suffered all of that. And now they were totally confused. So as they traveled a little more than the distance from here to Walled Hill, they were walking along the road. Jesus joined them. Now, he called them foolish people. If somebody joined you as you were walking along and said, "Boy, are you foolish?" What would you have thought? And yet he kept on with them. They stayed together with him. And they visited together. And Jesus explained everything that had happened. And he went back into their history, their heritage, and he said, you see where in our heritage it tells us that I was coming. You see how I have fulfilled all of those prophecies. Only he didn't say it that way. He didn't say, I'm the one who fulfills this. He said, the Messiah, the promised one. You see how he fulfilled all these prophecies? Now, they must have enjoyed their company well enough that when they got home, Jesus was going to keep on going. They invited him in. They said, stay with us. Stay for the night. And then an interesting thing happened. Jesus became the host in their home. Jesus took the bread like the host would. And he broke it. And he blessed it. He prayed over the food like the host should. And then something happened in them. Maybe because they'd heard him pray over bread before as he broke it. You remember when he fed 4,000 or when he fed 5,000. And I'm sure many times as they traveled around over those 3 years, he broke bread and prayed. And suddenly they recognized him. And he disappeared. What would you have done? I mean, whatever would make that happen? How can somebody disappear? And so they got up and they ran back to Jerusalem. And it says the 11 disciples were there. Everybody was there except Judas because he was gone. Even Thomas was there because it says the 11 were there. And they said, we saw Jesus. And the other disciples, they didn't apologize at all saying, hey, we're going to take the wind out of your sails because Simon's seen him too. But they said, Simon's seen him too. It's true. The women saw him. Simon saw him. Now you've seen him. It's true. Sometime, shortly thereafter, Thomas must have left. We don't know why or where, but he had left. Let's praise God. Hymn number 291, Thine is the Glory. We're going to sing the first two verses of 291.
Thank you.
continuing at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they understood the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Imagine, if you can, emotions in that room. Imagine what they were feeling. There was Jesus. For some, it was confirmation of what they'd been saying all day. But nobody believed them. For some, what a revelation. This man who they loved, whom they'd seen tortured, beaten, abused, ridiculed, murdered. And there he was, alive and well. Jesus' resurrection was proven. They could see him. They could hear him. They could touch him. I imagine they could smell him. And if they still thought that their senses were fooling them, there were multiple witnesses around them. "Do I really see him? Yeah, I see him too. Can't be. Yeah, but so does he. We all see him. Jesus is alive." And then Jesus spent time with them. Now, I don't think Jesus told them anything new. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, the message I brought was, "What's important?" And Jesus sat down with his disciples and told them point blank, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again." He told them that several times. But it wasn't important enough in their minds for them to even hear it. a matter of fact, they were so worried about who is more important here and their status and how people looked at them than in listening to what Jesus had to say. But here's Jesus again. Now he's got their attention. Now he's their priority. And he sits down with them and he tells them what he told them. Now, his words were important. For the disciples, Easter was a new beginning. Something that was important to them died, disappeared, was gone. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know who to turn to. And now, it began again. A new beginning. Let me ask you, can this Easter be a new beginning for you? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Use it well. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you and we thank you for this day. We thank you that you give us the opportunity of a new beginning. I have no doubt that there are some here that won't care. But some of us, Lord, you work in us. And you'll help us to understand that today is the first day of what you will make of our lives. Give us this new life. Make us over. Make us into your own. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.